Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, we have a lot to share. We're going to give you the latest on healing, a commentary from Bill McKibben on our environmental segment on a summer of extremes is going to be the new norm. What does that mean? I'll share that with you. And also, most people are not aware that genetically modified wheat that they're trying to get into production now is full of health dangers. We'll give you the full report on that, plus show you some other things that you should be aware of. By the way, it does matter where you live in the United States. Half of the U.S. counties now consider disaster areas. I'll give you the latest on that. For those of you who are not aware, the Stanford study was rebutted by us. We did a comprehensive, scholarly, fully documented, and referenced, scientific reference from peer-reviewed journals, response proving beyond any shadow of a doubt that genetically engineered foods, or what are considered traditional foods, how they're made, increase pesticide usage substantially. That causes a danger to animals, to humans, and the environment, pollutes our rivers, and that the genetically engineered foods are dangerous, but organic, have much higher nutrient density, are completely safe, and are completely sustainable for feeding the masses. That's one of their arguments. They're saying, well, you know, with organic, they're more expensive, and you can't feed a lot of people. Wrong. We show you the studies. That report and all of its footnotes, which after all my articles, no matter what I write on, and all of my documentaries, are always vetted by scholars in residence, individuals who I pay a very nice salary so they can do nothing every single day except review scientific literature and investigative reports and look into issues without any predetermined biased position. So that's up on the web now. So for all of you who want to be able to share that with your friends, please do so. Educate yourself so when the next time one of these stories pops up, you can immediately send this article, link it, and send it to the New York Times or one of the major media or someone like Gupta, who never seems to get anything right on these issues. Send it to them. The same thing with fluoride. The same thing with genetic engineering. The same thing with nuclear radiation. We have thousands of articles in 40 different categories. I hire staffs that work at night, overnight. So everywhere in the world, 24/7, we are scanning to see the issues that are progressive in nature, get the best experts, get their articles, and put them up. They're always free. They're non-commercial. There's no ads. It's there as a public service because we need this. The others are purely biased, either biased to the right or biased to the left. We don't have any agenda. It's just helping people. So use the website. It's there. Look at the articles. They're up there. And we'll continue to do that on a regular basis. By the way, we have over 30 of them up there on vaccines alone. Also today, I'm very concerned the average American doesn't understand what quantitative easing really means. So I'm going to play you a clip that explains it. Then I'm going to have you listen to two people explaining the entire meltdown in 3 minutes, what's causing it in Europe. It's really interesting. You'll get a kick out of it. And then I'll show you the looming threat that could initiate the next economic collapse. And it's going to be made even all the more possible because of quantitative easing. And I'll explain all that in a commentary. I'll be sharing information from Alternet, Alexander Arapokoglou, and Jerry Lynn Schofield. They've written a very important article that I'm posting entitled "The Looming Threat That Could Initiate the Next Economic Collapse." Again, 5 points that I promise you, you have not heard in depth ever, and I'll give them to you. And all of this is actually made more likely because of the quantitative easing, which will not help anyone in the United States. Not a single person will be helped as far as home foreclosures. They won't stop. Interest rates going up, compounding interest rates, late fees. All this will continue and actually increase. Well, then the question is, who gets these trillions of dollars? I'll go into that. You'll see. And finally today, I will, second into our program, give you the latest on what we've been warning about. The fact that all of our nuclear facilities should be closed down. There's a whistleblower. I'll report on what this whistleblower had to say about the cover-ups of the near meltdown. And the one that he says, quote, will be an absolute certainty. And I'll tell you about that. You were told that Fukushima, not a big deal, it's out of the news cycle. Wrong. There is no place to hide. Fukushima fallout findings widespread. I intend to devote 2 hours to this. 2 weeks from now, Monday night, on my Progressive Commentary Hour, we'll have some of the leading nuclear physicists and others on that panel, including Michael Collins, who's done a brilliant 24-page report on this. I will share just the first page with you today to show you how bad it really is and why we should be once again going out to demand of our governor, close down Indian Point. Let us begin. We're told that genetic engineering is good. It's safe. It's virtually the same as regular food. It is a lie. It is not. More and more reports are coming in. This is just the latest. In this latest study, here's what they have found. Three groups of rats fed diets which contain different proportions of genetically engineered ingredients or exposed to Roundup in three different doses suffered from incredible amounts of problems. Quote, up to 50% of males and 70% of females died prematurely before births could be put down to normal aging, compared with only 30% and 20% of the control groups. Across all treatments in both sexes, researchers found treated rats developed 300% more larger tumors than the control group. By the beginning of the 24th month, 80% of females in all treated groups had developed large tumors. And tumors were, quote, substantial in size. That's just one study on genetic engineering. This is a separate one. This is from the grocer, from Eleanor Zook. Monsanto, Roundup weed killer, and GM maize, that's a grain, implicated in, quote, shocking new cancer study. I'll quote the first paragraph. The world's best-selling weed killer and a genetically modified maize resistant to it can cause tumors, multiple organ damage, and lead to premature death, researchers have published. In the first ever study to examine the long-term effects of Monsanto's Roundup weed killer or the NK603 Roundup-resistant genetically modified maize grain, also developed by Monsanto, scientists found that rats exposed to even the smallest amounts developed mammary tumors and severe liver and kidney damage as early as 4 months in males, 7 months in females, compared to 23 months for a control group. Quote, this research shows an extraordinary number of tumors developing earlier and more aggressively, particularly in females. I am shocked by the extreme negative health impacts, end quote. That was Dr. Michael Antoniou, molecular biologist at King's College London and a member of an independent scientific council which supported the research. Now let us understand this. Genetically modified crops have been approved for human consumption on the basis of 90-day animal feeding trials. But 3 months is the equivalent of late adolescence in rats who can live for about 2 years, about 700 days. And there have been long calls to study the effects over the course of a lifetime. Well, the peer-reviewed study conducted by a team of researchers, University of Kent, found that rats fed on a diet containing the Roundup-resistant maize or given water containing Roundup at levels permitted in our drinking water over a 2-year period died significantly earlier than rats fed on a standard diet. and this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Food and Chemical Toxicology. So that's just another of the dozens of scientific papers published in peer-reviewed literature showing that genetically engineered foods are dangerous. The chemicals that are sprayed on them, including Roundup, is dangerous. And yet, our FDA, fully controlled by Monsanto and other pharmaceutical giants, and Michael Taylor, who came from Monsanto to run his food safety division, and the USDA and Tom Vilsack, the top genetically modified promoting governor in the United States before he was appointed to run the USDA. This is the way it works. They support GMOs. They are against organic. They're against vitamins and supplements and herbs. They're against small sustainable farmers. And they're putting through laws that would only allow you to eat GMO foods. Just so you're aware, they have no evidence of safety on their side. We have dozens of studies showing harm on our side to the GMOs. So for all the listeners in California, please vote yes. We want GMO foods labeled. That's very important. I was speaking with Dr. Joseph Marcola. I met with him in San Francisco and to film him for a new documentary I have. And he gave me some very interesting insights. And I want to thank him, by the way, for he said that the War on Health, which is free, everyone can see it. It's my gift to let everyone see it. I'm not charging anyone over the internet. You go to Gary Nall TV, and you'll go to the War on Health, the Tyranny of the FDA, download it, watch it, and please send it to everyone you know. It's one of the ways that we can share information about how corrupt a governmental agency is, how much power the pharmaceutical industrial complex has, how they buy science, how legislators are bought, how laws are written by ALEC at the state level and at the federal level, none of which benefits us. Anyhow, he said it was the most important health film that he'd ever watched, and he recommended to the millions of people read his newsletter, so I appreciate that and thank you. He told me about some shocking secrets about clinical trials where 2,161 related deaths. Let me quote what he has to say here. Quote, clinical research on, this is from Joseph Marcola, clinical research on humans is regarded as an essential component of drug research and development. It is only after successfully being tested on people that drugs are supposed to be brought to market. But how can it be ethical to use people as guinea pigs in drug trials without fully informing them of what consequences they may face? Typically, such trials are only undertaken after there is evidence from animal experiments that drugs are safe and effective. But this is far from a foolproof method by which to gauge safety. Unfortunately, many die or are seriously injured after taking part in drug trials, and worse still, only a fraction are ever compensated. India is a popular place for drug clinical trials. The volunteer pool is huge, and for drug companies, the cost is low. In many cases, drug companies persuade the poor, the illiterate, the uneducated, or tribal members to be their willing participants. But what's the price for the trial participants who enter the testing? Medical rights activist Anand Raya filed a right to information query to get data about drug trial-related deaths and adverse events from the Drug Controller General of India. It was revealed that more than 2,000 people in India died directly as a result of serious adverse events caused by the drugs, and just from 2008 to 2011. Only 1%, that's 1%, received any compensation, which was $4,800 per family. Well, as the Hindu newspaper reported, quote, the reasons for such a small number of cases receiving compensation is simple. Pharma companies conducting clinical trials pay compensation only in cases where it is established the death was caused as a result of the trials and not merely during the trial. Quote, but it's the companies themselves that decide whether a death was caused due to the trial or not. So there is a conflict of interest there, as the companies want to pay compensation in the lowest possible number of cases. That's according to a physician. So here's what we're never told. According to Dateline NBC, participants can earn about $400 per study. And normally they would be earning 50 cents a day or go unemployed. So there's a very strong incentive for individuals to volunteer. And they almost always, overseas in Africa or any place else, that's where they conduct these. And they get the most vulnerable, and then there's no way to determine if there's proper compensation. Almost there never is. And then we find out that these drugs kill Americans. Then we get angry. But isn't it interesting? We never get angry when others are killed overseas. When they used in the Philippines a bunch of young children to test a vaccine, and there were all kinds of deaths, didn't seem to bother anybody. Only if it's an American child. I think we ought to reexamine our perspective on the value of life, all life. And finally, on that issue, Gardasil study halted in India after six children died. Did you read this anywhere? Did you hear it anywhere in the American media? Not a word. The government in India called a halt to trials of the human papillomavirus Gardasil. This came about because of a civil society-led investigation which highlighted serious ethical violations for clinical research and informed consent of the participants. And more than 120 girls suffered adverse reactions, and six of the girls died. Others had stomach disorders, epilepsy, chronic and long-term headaches. I will be doing a major full-hour report with 27 mothers whose daughters died using Gardasil on an upcoming Progressive Commentary Hour, plus seven scientists, including a major award-winning investigative journalist. I'll just give you a little sneak preview. In all cases, the daughters were completely healthy and believed, as did the mothers, that taking the vaccine Gardasil would protect them against cervical cancer due to the human papillomavirus. The scientists will say that is not true. The investigative journalists will tell you everything that the American media has said about Gardasil is wrong. And shame on, well, how can you shame on Governor of New Jersey? There is no shame. These people are so inept, but they're trying to make it mandatory to get Gardasil. Governor, before you or your legislature insists upon mandatory vaccinations, why don't you invite me, under oath, to present the evidence I have against Gardasil and show you that it's a complete and total fraud? I will show you how many people have been injured, how many have died, and the fact that the statements that it will protect against any form of cancer is not supported by any science whatsoever. I will give you documents from the actual developer, and then I will show you also a methodical step-by-step of how they played everyone in the American media as being compliant idiots to go along and never question. And then, after looking at all the evidence, see would you still believe that you should ram this through and your legislature ram it through as they've done so many times. A little later on, we will talk on a newsmaker update with an activist, Louise Habascus, who's now en route to Trenton on our behalf, all of our behalves. She will be participating in a committee meeting at the New Jersey Senate to present arguments against the bill to limit vaccination exemptions in New Jersey. And because of the scramble to get there, we'll have her on as soon as I'm told that she's up. We'll get her on. Again, in every single state, they're trying to take away vaccine exemptions, so you must be vaccinated. And that's why I've been putting so much time and energy in my travels around the world to film my third documentary on vaccinations, showing you there is no science supporting its safety or efficacy. The entire edifice of the vaccine paradigm is a completely fraudulent construct. and as a scientist and as a journalist, as someone who's taught research methodology, I will lay out this argument with the supporting documents. We will have her on in a few moments. Next up, linking selenium deficiency to breast cancer. Now, we all know that selenium is a micronutrient. You don't need much of it, 200 to 400 micrograms per day, but it's a very powerful antioxidant. We also know that it can help prevent cancer. And we also know that if you're deficient, that you're going to have more susceptibility to cancer. So my suggestion is make sure that you're getting your selenium each day into your body. Doesn't take a whole lot. Also, baked goods sold in the U.S. contain potassium bromate. What is it? It's a carcinogen. It was banned in Europe, but it's allowed in the United States. So don't eat anything with it. Just look at your labels. And finally, have you got brain fatigue? A lot of people do. What's the best solution? This comes from the American Journal of Physiology and as reported in Science Daily. It says, University of South Carolina, quote, researchers have long known that regular exercise increases the number of mitochondria in muscle cells. And since mitochondria are responsible for generating energy, this numerical boost is thought to underlie many of the positive physical effects of exercise, such as increased strength and endurance. Exercise also has a number of positive mental effects, such as relieving depression and improving memory. However, the mechanisms behind these mental effects have been unclear. In a new study in mice, researchers at the University of South Carolina have discovered that regular exercise also increases mitochondria numbers in brain cells, and that can help relieve brain fatigue. And that's good. I'm Gary Noll. Now to our environmental segment of our program. Oh, before we go there, I'm sure you're all familiar now with Governor Romney's little taped session where he condemned 47% of the American population. Understandable, all right? Yeah, hey, let's give the guy a break. But here's the other side of it. This came from Salt Lake City today, and to his credit, he apologized. Here's his apology, quote, seeking to limit the fallout from a videotaped speech in which he asserts 47% of Americans pay no taxes and do not take personal responsibility and care for their lives, Mitt Romney called a press conference today to apologize personally, quote, to the 150 million starving, filthy beggars, saying that he deeply regretted his choice of words at a private $50,000 plate fundraising function in May, during which he argued, quote, his job is not to worry about the lower-earning half of the nation's populace. Romney personally appealed to the country's, quote, dirt cake garbage pickers and toothless street merchants for forgiveness. Quote, first and foremost, I'd like to offer a heartfelt apology to all you whores, junkies, bums, grime-covered derelicts out there who make up nearly half our nation. Let me assure you that I in no way meant to offend any of you putrid-smelling, barefoot masses out there. My campaign is not about dividing this nation, but about bringing all sides together, the rich, the elegant members of the upper class, as well as the 47% who are covered in flies and eat directly from back-alley dumpsters. I'm fully committed to building a better future for all America, and that means ensuring all 150 million grease and urine-soaked members of our society get a fair shake. Okay. And he ended by saying that he wanted to speak directly to the nation's grimy panhandlers and coke-addled whores. And I know just how hard it must be to get through a miserable, destitute life that is rife with crying babies whose shrieks consistently disrupt the affluent members of our society who actually contribute something to this world. And also, look, the snaggletooth street people out there, the hell-spawn savages, I know it can be challenging to wake up each morning covered in your own feces and refuge and get back out there on the streets to beg for spare change and food scraps, always one step away from dying right there in the alley. I know your challenges, and I'm ready to fight for you. Let me make this absolutely clear. I have the utmost respect for all the filth-encrusted, lesion-covered degenerates of this nation. End quote. Well, good. At least he apologized, right? Jesus. Oh, let's go to the latest on our nuclear. First, here in the United States. This is from the Washington's blog. Nuclear Regulatory Commission engineers charged government cover-up. Reactor meltdown, quote, absolutely certain if dam fails. Hundreds of times more likely than tsunami that hit Fukushima. I'll quote this. Massive cover-ups of risks from flooding to numerous U.S. nuclear facilities. Reactors in Nebraska and elsewhere were flooded by swollen rivers and almost melted down. No wonder nuclear expert Arne Gundersen said, sandbags nuclear power shouldn't be put in the same sentence. And the Huntsville Times wrote in an editorial last year, a tornado or a ravaging flood could just as easily be like the tsunami that unleashed the final blow at Fukushima as an earthquake. The Hill wrote, quote, an engineer with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission says the agency has withheld documents showing reactor sites downstream of dams are vulnerable to flooding and an elevated risk to public safety. Richard Perkins, a Nuclear Regulatory Commission reliability and risk engineer, was the lead author of a July 2011 nuclear regulatory report detailing flood preparedness. He said that the NRC blocked information from the public regarding the potential for upstream dam failures to damaged nuclear sites. Perkins, in a letter submitted last Friday with the NRC Office of Inspector General, said that the NRC, quote, intentionally mischaracterizes relevant and noteworthy safety information as sensitive security information in an effort to conceal the information from the public, end quote. He also stated, quote, that the National Nuclear Regulatory Commission may be motivated to prevent the disclosure of this safety information to the public because it will embarrass the agency. He claimed redacted documents in a response to the Freedom of Information Act showed the Nuclear Regulatory Commission possessed, quote, relevant, notable, and derogatory safety information for an extended period of time, but failed to properly act on it. And goes on from there. So I've told you many times that our Nuclear Regulatory Commission is utterly corrupt, always has been, is fully in the pocket of the nuclear industry, and therefore should be disbanded. It is worthless. An independent nuclear scientist put in a new group to really go out there and assess the safety of these. Finally, I'm only going to give you one page from what will be a major report. Time does not permit today, but I'm doing a two-hour special. We're hopeful to have on Michio Kaku, Helen Caldicott, Harvey Wasserman, Carl Grossman, Vandana Shiva, Greg Palast, on a panel with Michael Collins in 2 weeks to tell you the truth about Fukushima and how bad it really is and how much worse it can be if that other building finally collapses. It's not will it collapse. Yes, it will. It's just when. All it takes is one 6.0 or higher, and that building collapses and all those spent fuel rods are going to go to the ground, crash, disintegrate, and you will have overnight the complete destruction of quality of life forever of all the life on Japan. And remember, Tokyo is on only 150 miles away, not even 150 miles, I think it's 120 miles from Fukushima. And yet the Japanese government's fully aware of this, and it would rather spend money and time covering up the problem and lying about the problem than making a worldwide effort to seal, encase that Fukushima, and then remove the spent fuel rods and entomb them forever. Anyhow, here's what Michael Collins has to say on environmentalreporter.com. Quote, no place to hide. Fukushima fallout findings widespread. Here's what the report includes. The US EPA detects Los Angeles beta radiation spike in early July air. Alpha and beta radiation air increases in Santa Monica. High radiation in rains across American Canada. High hot rains in southern Brazil indicate Fukushima fallout in southern hemisphere at high concentrations. California Naval oranges detected with extremely high levels of cesium-134 and cesium-137 bought at a supermarket in Japan, meaning it was grown in California, shipped to Japan, but it was it had the radiation from California. California almonds, dried prunes, and pistachios test high for cesium-134 and 137. Grass-fed Missouri beef hot with cesium-137. And then they also found same beef shows presence of cobalt-60, silver-110, barium-140, strontium-90. These are radionuclides. Also, radiation-induced mutations in Japanese insects. Santa Barbara, California, sunflowers mutating within 2 miles of the Pacific Ocean. Radiation levels in cross-country flights. Boy, this is important. With all the flying I do, whoa. I flew 7 times in 1 week. And so this is a call out to all of the pilots, flight attendants, who are flying every day. This is what you have not been told. Please share this with them if you can. And I will post the entire report so they can download it themselves. Quote, radiation levels in cross-country flights have increased 33% since December 2011's high readings, 500% higher than normal. Jet flight from America to Japan wearing a filtered mask once again reads hot in alpha and beta radiation on the flight. Atmospheric aerosol spraying, so-called chemtrails, are scavenging Fukushima fallout in otherwise dry areas, creating a new mobility mechanism to transport deadly meltdown radionuclides in the troposphere to the Earth's surface. Individuals' exposure to Fukushima fallout easily detected in cheap and accurate hair analysis, and radiation captured by HEPA air filters, cleaning machines at radiation station Santa Monica, doubled in a 52-day period ending this past August 1st. Over the previous period. The tests were part of the EnvironmentalReporter.com's ongoing monitoring of Fukushima fallout and ocean-borne contamination in Southern California and across the United States. Over 2,374 tests since March 15, 2011 have yielded high radiation detections in air, water, as well as food and drink. And yet, as alarming as many of those tests have been, new information uncovered strongly suggest that the Fukushima contamination has insinuated itself into the environment and human beings in ways previously not known to the public. What you have with radiation is you have what is called a radionuclide, and it can only come from the ongoing triple meltdowns, 5,000 miles upwind and up current in the Pacific Ocean, and it makes its way to the California crops. And the fallout continues unabated at extremely high levels in rainfall across North America and now in the Southern Hemisphere. And these new revelations also indicate that more of the affluent strata of society are inadvertently being exposed to the radionuclides belching out of the bowels of the destroyed Japanese reactors due to lifestyle choices unavailable to poorer classes. Regardless of the class, relatively inexpensive tests for radiation contamination do exist that definitely can calculate the exact amount of exposure a person has had. So I will go into the full story and all of its details and all the cover-up and what the likely outcome would be for the people living anywhere in Japan or California on a program which we're preparing now. 2 weeks from, it'll be 2 weeks from Monday night on Progressive Commentary Hour. And if you didn't hear this past week's Progressive Commentary Hour with Greg Pallast and Dr. Harvey Wasserman on how the Republicans stole the last, two elections with George Bush and documented it, you really should go online and on the archives and listen to it. It's powerful. I am told now that we should have up on Louisa on our line now. Let's go over and see if we indeed can get her. Hi.
Hi, Gary. How are you? We're
nice
in Trenton, New Jersey
us.
Right now.
Okay. Tell us, in this Newsmaker segment, tell us what is of concern to you, what you're doing there with the Coalition for Vaccine Safety and other groups to represent us.
Yes, Gary, what the legislature of New Jersey is looking to do is apply very severe limitations to the only non-medical exemption to mandatory vaccination that parents have in New Jersey, and that's the religious exemption. So if Senate Bill 1759 passes, then parents who want to obtain a religious exemption must get counseling from state-mandated physicians. They must obtain that physician's signature. The parent then must make a sworn statement, and then they need to go and get that statement notarized. And only then will the state approve the religious exemption to vaccine mandates. Gary, I want to tell you that S1759 is basically a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. They're looking to weed out parents who are not religiously sincere. And if you think about it, what this bill requires is that parents with deeply held religious beliefs that are violated by vaccination, they're requiring these parents to obtain counseling that's meant to convince them to do something that they find repugnant. And then they're asking parents to pay for the privilege of obtaining this service in the form of time off work, extra doctor's visits, notary services, and then, as we know, many doctors are refusing to even see these patients. So what parents are having to do is do additional research to find doctors who they will work with who will sign these exemptions. So it's really an abomination. And I think that if you consider what's going on in the state of New Jersey, we are ground zero, Gary, for vaccines and autism in this country. New Jersey mandates 45 doses of 13 vaccines for daycare and school admission. We have among the highest rate of autism in the country. We have 1 in 49 children, 1 in 29 boys with an autism diagnosis. The only state that's worse than us is Utah with 1 in 47 children. But New Jersey has 8.8 million residents, a lot more children, and we are worldwide and U.S. headquarters for half of the world's pharmaceutical firms. So we understand what's happening, and we're going to go testify at the Senate Health Committee meeting, and we're going to tell them that we reject this bill, that the parents of New Jersey, the voters of New Jersey, did not request this bill. This is a medical trade and pharmaceutical industry-sponsored bill, and we're going to demand that they explain to us why they believe that parents who have religious beliefs must get counseling before they can take their constitutional protected right to obtain a religious exemption.
We appreciate you being over there on our behalf, and let us know the outcome so we can do a follow-up discussion and call to action.
Right? Thank you, Gary. I just want to tell people if they can go to signon.org and type in Preserve New Jersey Exemption, New Jersey Religious Exemption, they can sign a petition. In 3 days, we have over 2,200 signatures, and obviously we want those numbers to keep growing. And we also want to ask people to go to njvaccinationchoice.org, njvaccinationchoice.org. That's the New Jersey Coalition for Vaccination Choice.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for your support.
Okay. So we will continue to keep you abreast of this, and I'm asking any of the people who may be listening from the governor's office, invite those of us who have actual science to show you why the entire edifice of our public health vaccine program should be open to challenge. We have the documentation. We have the evidence. You do not. You're mandating something out of ignorance. And that is Louisa Habascus. I'm Gary Nall. Now, I'm very concerned. Two things. I promised you the latest on this genetically modified wheat dangers. This is what our group of scientists are saying. Here's what they're saying. Quote, expert scientists have today warned that a type of genetically modified wheat being trialed in Australia may trigger a deadly liver disease when consumed by human beings. In a new report on GM wheat, New Zealand geneticist Professor Jack Heineman of the University of Canterbury said that the technology as used in the wheat suppressed an enzyme which was similar to the human enzyme that produces glycogen. Humans eating the wheat could experience a decline in glycogen production in their bodies, leaving the liver to fail. His report is backed by an independent review of Australian biochemists Dr. Judy Carman of Flinders University and by molecular geneticist and expert Michael Antoniou from King's College London. One more reason to say no to genetic engineering. And yet our own USDA, our FDA, our White House have refused to acknowledge anything should be done to stop their friends who give them money, the Monsanto Group. I'm concerned about quantitative easing. We've had three that we are aware of, a fourth that was secret for $16 trillion. It didn't, not a penny went to a small business person, the real backbone of a future. If we want to have a future, we're going to have to re-motivate and help those who are capable of creating services and product in the United States, the small business people. But they're not getting any. Homeowners not getting any. The people who need it don't get it. Bankers do. So what exactly is this quantitative easing? Let us listen now to two separate inputs on this, and then our final segment will be on open calls.
Did you hear about the Fed?
No. What about the Fed?
They announced another round of the quantitative easing.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to make large asset purchases via PAMO.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to expand their balance sheet and buy treasuries.
What does that mean?
It means they are going to print a ton of money.
So why do they call it the quantitative easing? Why don't they just call it the printing money?
Because the printing money is the last refuge of failed economic empires and banana republics, and the Fed doesn't want to admit this is their only idea.
So why do they want to print the money?
Because they say we have the deflation, and the deflation is very bad.
What is the deflation?
The deflation is when prices of the things we buy go down.
Isn't that good? Doesn't it mean the people can buy more of the stuff?
Yes, but the Fed said this is bad, especially during the recession.
So they think that during the recession, when the people have less money to buy the stuff, it is bad that the prices go down?
Yes, the Fed would rather have the inflation.
So why does the Fed think we have the deflation?
Because the CPI said so.
But aren't the food prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the gas prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the healthcare costs higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't tuition prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the taxes higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the subway fares higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the stock prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
Aren't the bond prices higher than a year ago?
Yes.
So what is deflating right now?
The only thing deflating that I can see is the Fed's credibility.
Did they have a lot of credibility to start with?
No.
Why not?
Because the Fed has been wrong about every major economic development in the past 20 years.
You mean they didn't see the internet stock bubble?
No. In fact, they helped fuel the internet stock bubble.
And they didn't see the housing bubble?
No, in fact, they helped cause the housing bubble.
And they didn't see the subprime crisis?
No, in fact, they told us subprime problems were contained right before the hit the fan and the Lehman went bankrupt.
So has the Fed ever been right about anything?
Let me see if I can think of anything. Nope, nothing.
Who runs the Fed?
The Fed is run by the Ben Bernanke.
Does the Ben Bernanke have a lot of business experience?
No, the Ben Bernanke has no business experience.
Does the Ben Bernanke have a lot of policy experience?
No, the Ben Bernanke has no policy experience.
Has the Ben Bernanke ever run in an election?
No, the Ben Bernanke has never run in an election.
So what qualifies him to run the Fed?
I don't know, maybe the fact that he has a nice beard.
But my plumber also has a nice beard, and I would not trust him to play God with the economy.
No, although when you call the plumber to fix something that is broken, they usually fix it, not break it more.
This is true, the plumber is clearly smarter than the Ben Bernanke.
Well, that is why he became a plumber, and not an economist.
How does the Fed execute the quantitative easing?
They print the money, and then they buy the treasury bonds.
Do they buy the treasury bonds from the Treasury Department?
No, they buy the treasury bonds from the Goldman Sachs.
You must be me.
No.
So let me get this straight. If I want to buy the treasury bonds with my money, I can buy them directly from the treasury.
Yes.
And if you want to buy the treasury bonds with your money, you can buy them from the treasury.
Right.
But if the Ben Bernanke wants to buy the treasury bonds using the American people's money, he does not buy them from the treasury, he buys them from the Goldman Sachs?
Exactly.
And does the Goldman Sachs give him a good price?
Of course not, they are the Goldman Sachs, they make their living ripping off the American people.
But how is the Goldman Sachs able to do this?
The Fed announces what it is going to buy, and when it is going to buy, before it does the trade.
So the Goldman Sachs can front-run the Fed, and give them the worst possible price on the treasury bonds?
Yes, exactly.
And the Fed is okay with this blatant theft from the American people?
Of course, otherwise, the Fed would just buy the treasury bonds directly from the Treasury Department.
Who inside the Fed is responsible for the buying of the treasury bonds?
The buying of the treasury bonds is conducted by the New York branch of the Federal Reserve.
And who is in charge of the New York branch?
The head of the New York branch is the William Dudley.
And what did the William Dudley do before running the New York Fed?
Before running the New York Fed, the William Dudley was a partner at the Goldman Sachs.
So the guy in charge of the American people's money when dealing with the Goldman Sachs used to be a partner at the Goldman Sachs?
Yes.
And nobody has a problem with this?
Apparently not.
Is this an episode of The Twilight Zone?
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
So what you are telling me is that the Fed thinks prices are going down, when in fact they are going up?
Yep.
And they think during the recession, with the high unemployment, it is better if the things people need to buy cost more money.
Correct. According to the Ben Bernanke, the inflation will create the jobs and improve the housing market.
Has this ever been tried before?
Yes, just last year the Fed tried the quantitative easing with $2 trillion.
Did that create the jobs?
No.
Did it help the housing market?
Not at all.
Did it help anybody at all?
Yes, it helped the Goldman Sachs.
How much of the money are they printing now?
$600 billion.
So even though the first $2 trillion did not create the jobs or improve the housing market, the Fed decided to do another $600 billion anyway?
Yes.
Who put the Ben Bernanke in charge?
The Ben Bernanke was first appointed by the President Bush, then he was reappointed by the President Obama.
But wasn't the President Obama supposed to bring the change?
Yes.
How is putting in charge the same fool, who has been wrong about everything, the change?
Well, under the President Bush, the Ben Bernanke only blew up the American economy. Under the President Obama, he is working on blowing up the entire global economy.
That does not sound like the change we can believe in.
Definitely not.
Who else supports the Ben Bernanke?
Most economists around the world think the quantitative easing is very dangerous.
Does anyone think it is a good idea?
Yes, the people at the Goldman Sachs.
Is this some kind of nightmare?
No, it is very real.
I want to bang my head against the wall.
You should not do that.
Why not?
Because the healthcare is too expensive.
Your name is Roger, yes?
Roger.
Ah, that's your name.
Roger.
Good. And what do you do, Roger?
I'm a financial consultant.
Ah, financial consultant, eh?
Roger,
yeah,
yes.
Terrific. And Roger, how's business at the moment?
Not bad, thank you. Been a bit quiet lately.
How do you mean lately?
Since the war, been a bit quiet.
Fair enough. Okay, Roger, your special subject tonight is the economies of the European Community. Mm-hmm. Your time starts now. Best of luck.
Thank you.
How much does Greece owe, Roger?
$367 billion.
Correct. And who do they owe it to?
Mostly to the other European economies.
Correct. How much does Ireland owe?
$865 billion.
Correct. And who do they owe it to?
Other European economies, mostly.
Correct. How much does Spain and Italy owe?
$1 trillion each.
Correct. Who to?
Mainly France, Britain and Germany.
Correct. And how are Germany, France and Britain going, Roger?
Well, they're struggling a bit, aren't they?
Correct. Why?
Because they've lent all these vast amounts of money to other European economies that can't possibly pay them back.
Correct. So what are they going to do?
They're going to have to bail them out.
Correct. Where are they getting the money to do that, Roger?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that one.
How much does Portugal owe?
Hang on a minute. What was the answer to that earlier question?
Just keep answering the questions, Roger. Where is Portugal going to get the money it owes to Germany if Germany can't get back the money that it lent to Italy?
Just a minute. What was the answer to the previous question? The question was, how can broke economies lend money to other broke economies who haven't got any money because they can't pay back the money the broke economy lent to the other broke economy and shouldn't have lent it to them in the first place because the broke broke economy can't pay it back.
You're wasting very valuable time, Roger. How much money does Spain owe to Italy?
$41 billion, but where are they going to get it?
Correct. What does Italy owe to Spain?
$27 billion, but they haven't got it, they're broke.
Correct. How can they pay each other if neither of them has any money?
They're going to get a bailout, aren't they?
Correct. And where's the money coming from for the bailout?
That's what I'm asking you.
Correct. Why are people selling the European currency and buying the US dollar?
Because the US economy is so much stronger than the European economy.
Correct. Why is that, Roger?
Because it's owned by China.
Correct. And very well done. And after that round, you've lost $1 million.
I've lost $1 million. I thought you said well done.
Yes, well done. You've only lost $1 million. That's an extraordinary performance, Roger.
I've only lost $1 million.
Very well done.
And that's quite good, is it?
Oh, it's excellent.
Sell everything immediately. Quickly.
So you think you're out of the loop? The whole world is run by idiots. Can you let me make it real simple for everyone? We're broke. We're so screwed, but as long as this idiot, this Ben Bernanke and people like him continue to have these quantitative easings where they're printing money, fiat currency, if this was in Zimbabwe, we'd say stop it. But it's us that we don't. So we're closing down 36 factories a day. We've closed down 58,200 factories in 12 years. We have caused the destruction of the middle class. Now we're destroying the educated class and the senior class with outside imports and quotas. And how is all this possible? Well, because we keep giving money to the people who cause the problems, who make money off money. None of these people, Goldman Sachs and the rest of these clowns, they're not building factories. They don't care about you. You're merely a commodity. But it's also true in Europe. So when they're sent, and I predicted this 2 years ago, I said on the air, mark my words, the Eurozone is dead. Why? Because they're going to allow their European Central Bank, which is equivalent to our Federal Reserve, to come in and backstop all of these bad debts, which means they're going to guarantee them, which means if Germany doesn't get paid by Greece or Greece defaults or Spain defaults, a trillion here, 800 billion there, they will simply take that loss. They will wash it through and guarantee the banks that gave them that money. So that the European Central Bank will guarantee the money. You're creating massive amounts of currency, of the euro, with nothing to back it up. But have you actually created more jobs? No. Have you lessened the austerity cuts in people's lives? No. More factories, more businesses? No. Have we done that in the United States? We're doing the same identical thing in the United States. Just so you know, printing money and giving it to those in power does not reverse an economy. That's the bottom line. Our entire system is one giant fraud. Everything about it's a fraud. Anyone who tells you otherwise is a part of the problem because they're contributing to it. In our final moments here, and for those of you who are going to be tuning out at our 55 minutes, which are most of our land-based stations, those who want to continue listening and calling in, because now it's time for our talk back at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We will have a phone number also. You can call and listen to the rest of the program or listen over the Internet at 832-280-0066, 832-280-0066. One quick program announcement. A person brought by a tape at the home movie they had filmed at one of our early dance parties, and I didn't think anything of it. I took a look, and it was fun. It's fun to see the outfits of 1984 and 83, but there were 5,000 people at one of these parties that I held, and you got to see this. It's up online. It's on Gary and All TV, your dance party, and then I ask if anyone else has them, send them over. So someone else gave us films, so we have two of them up there now. So go watch these dance parties. See if you can see yourself. I looked at him and I saw probably 2,000 people I recognized from the audience. See you dancing or sitting. Just a wonderful environment. Anyone else have any of these films, please send them over to my office, 2307 Broadway, New York, New York, 10024. We know they're home movies and they're not going to be edited great or great photography, but it's fun. And that's that. Also, let us now go to the looming threat that could initiate the next economic crisis. I mentioned this earlier in the program. Here are the things the five issues we must understand. First, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Hedge funds are classic examples of shadow banks, the shadow economy. It's not regulated. Investments in these funds are limited to those with annual incomes over a two-year period of at least $200,000 net. And these people put enormous amounts of money into these funds with the hope that they'll make a lot of money. The truth is, when Simon Lack's book, The Hedge Fund Mirage, laid out that the hedge funds actually don't make you money, but people continue to invest. But what if you don't invest? What if you're a firefighter, a police officer, a teacher? Do you realize that your retirement funds have been invested in these hedge funds? You're going to lose those, a lot of that. So we should regulate hedge funds, equity partnerships, and the shadow banking. Next, money market funds are neither safe nor stable. Yet a lot of people believe, oh, the $2.6 trillion in money markets, they're good business. No, they're not. Not even Mary Shapiro, who is head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, announced her failure to reform the system of mutual funds. Many ordinary people put money into money market mutual funds. These vehicles were created in 1971 and allow payment of higher rates on deposit than conventional bank deposits. And unlike a commercial bank, the companies that run these funds aren't subject to regulations requiring them to hold extra capital in reserve and to make sure that they can pay back people's money who put money into their funds. And since banks have to satisfy these capital rules and fund companies don't, they get a competitive advantage, and funds are subject to laxer rules. Well, the money market mutual fund industry has gone to great lengths to convince people that investments in their funds are safe as bank deposits, but they're not. If your bank, if your mutual fund goes broke, you don't get any money back. That's it. So understand that. Then you've got this extending the securitized mortgage madness to the rental market. In 1988, the Bank of International Settlements introduced bank capital standards, a risk-based system to make banks safer. And these rules encourage banks to remove various sources of risks from their balance sheets by sending them to the shadow banking system. Well, in the mortgage world, the BIS rules spawned a system of loan production where those banks that made loans didn't hold them to maturity. One way banks protected themselves from mortgage risk, the possibility that borrowers would default on their loans, was by inventing mortgage-backed securities. And these securities are typically made by assembling a pool of mortgage loans and then designing a security that will pay investors based on the revenue earned. It's very complicated. But now they're doing it with people who have rental properties. Big mistake. And finally, we have the wild world of derivatives. That's the ticking time bomb. That's up to $600 trillion of these stupid derivatives. I have said many times we should outlaw all derivatives. And one big misconception spread by shadow banks and their enablers is that these entities perform better in the banking crisis than regulated banks. Not true. Just isn't true. Long-term capital management, a shadow bank, was managed by trading rock stars that included two Nobel Prize winners for their work on derivatives. And it was rescued in 1998, 4 years after it was founded, to protect the regulated banking system when its derivatives bets backfired. And so I say get rid of the shadow banking system 100%. Let's say hello now to, we don't have time to go to calls. Luann, you're the last one.
Well, hi, Gary. I have an email here from a volunteer from WMCA. He says, I used to work at ABC, and everyone knew that you received more mail than anyone else. Did you know that you used to receive 30,000 letters a week and had the highest ratings on the station in history? That was the Sunday night show, I think. He wants to know, did you know about that?
I didn't know how many letters I received. There is a photograph up on my website where Mark Mason, the station's program director, and myself are at the ABC mic. And that day, which was a Monday, they took Monday's mailbags and put them in on the table. And it filled the entire table 3 foot high, and it was a 6 by 6 foot table, filled it completely. And later someone said that there were something like 9,000 letters on there. That was one day. I didn't know because I didn't know. I came in on Sunday night. I was there Sunday night. I did a three-hour show. I never came in the week, so I never knew who else got mail, so I didn't know that.
It's amazing that, people that have known you for so many decades are still listening and they're still keeping in touch. I find that very impressive.
Well, look at it this way. If you help people live a longer and healthier life, if you help bring a better understanding to crisis and issues in their life, if you're there to go out and fight on their behalf, as we did today, by showing what we were doing to support Louise Hibaskis in this vaccine exemption, a religious exemption, New Jersey, as we're doing to fight back against Monsanto for genetically engineered food. I'm not doing that for me because I eat only organic and I grow my own food organically and I have a health food store and I get all the organic I want. I'm doing it for all the people who may not even eat organic but don't know how dangerous genetically engineered food is, or those who may know but don't want their right of freedom of choice to buy organic taken away. So when you're working on behalf of other people's interest, why not share a long-term, lifelong friendship? I just think that should be the norm and not the exception. I was there for them at the beginning of my career. I am there for them today. It's that simple. There's no other agenda. Thanks a lot, Luann.
Okay.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank you. And by the way, for those of you who are seeking nutritional health or lifestyle modification help, we have four people. But what we're finding with the feedback that I've been given, including yesterday, was that a lot of people who are not legitimate and don't really want help and just calling and wasting people's time and then people don't show up. So we've changed the system. They've insisted upon it. And I said, fine. Just go in any day between 11 a.m. and 7 in the evening, 89th and Broadway, and you'll meet any one of the four people who are there to help you. It's free. It's a public service. They all have different skills and different backgrounds, different qualifications. And I've gone through a lot to select these people. So they're there for you. But you can't call. Just go in. They're there every day of the week. Thank you all for listening. Now, stay tuned for Utrice Lead, right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Well, I'd be doggone if I wouldn't work all day.